you gonna say?
This is gonna be an introduction to our Sunday school class. What are you gonna say? I'm recording you. He's looking. Do I eat it? Hi. Laugh, smile.
Come on, Bubba, what's the matter?
There we go. Amen. Sound like amen to me. Amen. Good morning, brother. Good to see you. Good job, Akota. I got you on. Got you recorded now. It's the introduction to our Sunday school class. Amen. All right. Who needs a book? Anybody need a book?
You need a book. Amen. Okay. Start chapter 2 today. That's a blessing. Give you that one. Everybody else took the potty break, so they'll be back in just a minute.
I was going to say, I'm glad we didn't skip.
No, we had the old bathroom break,
y'all. Okay.
We trickling back in here in a few minutes. And I was like, get it now while you can. May not get it later on. All right. Well, did anybody get a chance to read through chapter 2 yet? So if you did, then you know you've got homework. All right. Our verse that we left off with was Romans 12:10. And so we're going to start with Romans 12:10. And then we will go from there. All right, how's everybody's week? Busy? Amen. I know yours was busy yesterday, amen, because you were here helping my wife, amen. Steve was busy yesterday because he got up at 7:30 to get here. Well, he got up at 6:30 probably to get here, amen. Or 6 o'clock. What time did you get up yesterday?
I didn't actually get up until
6:30. 6:30, amen. All right.
I laid in bed at 6.
And I know Brother Josiah was busy because he got up early to be here yesterday, amen. But you're a shift worker, so you're used to different shifts, aren't you? Now, what's your main shift? Or is there such a thing?
6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
6 to 6?
It's actually like 3 in the morning, 7 at night.
Yeah.
No, so 6 o'clock is start time, but you've got to be there like way early. Because don't you guys have to go relieve each other, do the gun change and all that stuff?
We don't have our own guns, but yeah.
So what time do you normally have to get up to be there for 6 o'clock?
I have to get up quarter to 4.
Quarter to 4?
Yeah.
3:45. My soul. Not a soul is awake at 3:45. Man, oh man. Dakota, how you deal with that? Nah, I'm in my own world. That doesn't matter. Amen. All right. Okay, so Romans 12:10. We're going to start there. This is a short chapter, but we're going to discuss quite a bit in regards to it. So let's go to our Bibles, Romans 12:10. Which is our source of memory verse. Some of you may know this verse already, others may not. But Romans 12:10 is going to be our verse. And if we're there, let's go ahead and read that together. Romans 12:10, or if you can quote it from memory, you go ahead and quote it from memory. By all means, here we go. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Romans 12:10. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Lord, help us today as we look at this subject, honoring our mate. And that God, we would be able to do our part in honoring our mate. Lord, we know that chapter 1 is already covered, and we are supposed to be committed. And Lord, as we look at going from commitment to honor, Lord, help us to recognize that and do that, that it might be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. Well, as you see by the title of this one, Minimize Your Marriage, or Minimize, Maximize Your Marriage, I need new glasses. Amen. Maximize Your Marriage by Honoring Your Mate is the topic today. Amen. If I asked you, what does honor mean? What would be some words that you would use to describe honor? If I'm going to honor my mate, what are some words? What does that mean to do? Honor.
Respect.
Respect? Okay. What else? Respect. Honoring my mate. What does honor mean? Respect. We got that? Anything else?
Honor Love them unconditionally.
Love them unconditionally? Okay, what do you say? That's that.
Love them.
Love them? Okay. Amen. Anything else? When it comes to honor, I'm going to honor my mate. Respect them, love them, unconditional love. How about forgive them, understand them, know them, high regard for them. The literal definition means to have someone in a position of honor, hold them up, look to them with a sense of awe and reverence. That's the literal definition of honor. Notice the verse there, Romans 12:10. Romans gives a list of things that you and I ought to do when it comes to our relationships with others. And verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. And it says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So really, detest that that is no good. But then he says, that which is good, stick to that. Then he says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another. And then he says, in honor, preferring one another. So in other words, having someone in an honorable position and putting their requests or their feelings before yours. And by the way, if a couple each does that, what would that do for a couple? If the husband put the wife first and the wife put the husband first, what would that do to the couple? How would that affect the couple?
It strengthens them.
It would strengthen them? Why would it strengthen them?
Because they're working together. They're in one accord. They're one mind, one set.
Working together.
Each other.
Amen. Now, what else does that do? They're working together. What else does that do? What would this do to a marriage? If I'm putting Carmen before me and she's putting me before her, what is that going to do for me? And what's that going to do for her? What's that going to do for us?
It's going to make you more affectionate to each other, more loving.
More affectionate? What else would it do? There's a key word. Yes, Lily?
It's like when you honor God, before husband, when God told me to do, and my husband was asked me to do anything, it means just honoring you, like obeying him.
Mm-hmm. Obeying, yeah, that's good. But what is it going to do if each one is putting the other first? Huh?
Brings peace and less conflict.
It does bring peace, it does bring conflict. But think about it.
Respect each other.
Respect each other, that's another one. But there's something key. If each is putting the other first, what's going to happen? Their needs will be met. All the needs will be met. If Crystal is constantly putting Steve first, his needs are met. If he is constantly putting her first, her needs are met. That makes for a happy couple because my needs are met. If my needs are met, I don't have to go elsewhere looking for anything else because my needs are met. Financially, everything, all my needs are met because now my spouse is putting me first and my needs are met. So when it says here that honor is the second most important tool in marriage, this is right behind commitment. Now, do I have to have love to make this work? Not necessarily, but love is good to have, okay? If I've got commitment, that's really what it is, because commitment says I'm gonna stick with it, no matter what. I'm gonna stick with it, okay? But now the second most important tool, it says here, is honor. Notice that opening sentence. Honor is the most important tool in a marriage. Honor means you say and do things to demonstrate the value and worth of your mate. So now that's key. Honor means you say and do those things. Not only are you verbalizing it, you're demonstrating it. Okay? And notice what it says here in that next phrase. A major part of honor is respect. That's what somebody said here. I think Kayla said that. A major part of honor is respect. Now, what is respect? It means to record high or to highly value somebody. So I'm going to value my spouse. I'm going to respect them. Notice what it says here. There's a bunch of words here. We're going to talk about these. You must respect your spouse's opinions. So in other words, hold my spouse's opinions in high value or record them very high. Hold their ideas very high. Hold their feelings very high, hold their concerns very high, and their needs very high. Now let's talk about that for just a moment. You must respect your spouse's opinions. Why do I need to respect my spouse's opinions? Why is that important? I'm gonna honor them, I've gotta value their opinions. Why is their opinion important?
Because
Because, I mean, he or she is an individual.
Okay.
And you should respect their opinion, even though you may not agree, because that opinion comes from a lot.
Amen.
It comes from life.
Okay. So Ms. Dawson said we should respect that opinion because that person is an individual and their opinion has come from their life's experiences. And so I've got an opinion based upon my background experience. Okay? You know, case in point, I was just talking to Steve yesterday about finances and budgets and things like that. Now his opinion differs from my opinion because he's got a different background in finances than I do. I don't have a financial background. The finance I took was in high school. Economics, balancing a checkbook, that's all. You know, he's gone to school, he knows that kind of stuff. So he looks at finances and budgets from a different perspective than I do. So he's got a different opinion than I do. Amen. My opinion is let's just not spend more than we get in, and here's what we're going to be in trouble. Amen. He's got a whole separate schematic, way of looking at this. So why is it important for me to value my spouse's opinion? And why should I put it in high regard, other than that they're an individual? Kayla?
If you don't, the spouse will feel like you're treating them like a child.
Treat them like a child.
They feel disrespected. Like they don't matter.
Disrespected, don't matter. Amen. Now, does everybody value their own opinion?
Yes.
Of course you value your own opinion, amen. You wouldn't have one if you didn't, amen. We value our own opinion. Now, it may be faulty, it may be a lot of things, but guess what? It's mine. Is everybody entitled to an opinion? Yes. Is everybody's opinion going to be right?
No.
But is everybody's opinion going to be based off of their experience? Yes. It's going to be based upon what they know or what someone told them that they should know. Amen. So when you look at opinions, they're going to be different. By the way, they should be different, and why should they be different?
Well, because a man's different than a woman. You know, we tend to think with our heart, they tend to think with their mind. It needs to balance. There has to be some kind
balance.
Of
balance. That's the key word that I wrote down. They should be different because of balance. The two of you, your backgrounds is going to bring balance to your marriage. You know, Steve is on this side of the financial spectrum, and Crystal's on this side of the spectrum. Guess what? They can meet in the middle and say, hey, look, let's work this thing out. You know, if I'm on this side of the spectrum in child discipline and child rearing, and my wife's on this side, we can meet in the middle. Now, what if Carmen and I both are on this side of the spectrum in child rearing? What's going to happen to our children?
You raise one way.
Raise one way without any balance. They only know one way. Oftentimes, that's what happens in single-parent homes. They know all mom's way, or if they're raised by dad, they know all of dad's way. They don't have the balance of masculinity and femininity. They don't have that balance. And so they grew up seeing things out of an opinionated eye from a masculine point of view or a feminine point of view, not with both. So the opinions do matter. Notice this next one, ideas. Should I value my spouse's ideas? Yes, I should. Why should I? And what does it do?
It makes them feel important.
Makes them feel important. How many of y'all like new ideas? Some people do and some people don't. I want to keep the same, like it's always been. No new ideas, no new ways, it's worked this way, so don't interject anything different, so let's just keep it the same. Yes?
As long as my idea is okay.
Is my way or the highway?
You're honest.
My ideas are superior because they always work. Amen. So ideas are important, again, for the same reason. They bring balance. Now, one husband or the wife may think that their ideas are superior. Yeah, they might. If I talk to Steve is going to think his ideas on finances are superior because he's got more education on finances. And he may be true. Okay, but I may think mine are more superior because I don't have all the information that goes with it, so I'm less detailed. So I say, look, we got money, let's spend money, let's save money, and it's the end of the day. Okay, so I don't have all the schematics, so it's going to be different depending upon the person. So the ideas coming into the marriage should be accepted and promoted, whether they're good ideas or bad ideas. Put them to the test and see if they float. If they sink, you say, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and make another boat, amen, because that one just drowned, amen. So the ideas need to be given for balance and completeness. So opinions matter, ideas matter. Oh, here's a loaded one, feelings. Now, guys, how can we honor our spouse's feelings when we don't understand it and they don't even understand it? How can we honor something that we have no clue about?
Say yes, dear.
Say yes, dear. How can we do this?
By the grace of God.
By the grace of God. Is it real to them? Uh-huh. If it's real to them, it should be real to us, even though we don't understand. How many of y'all understand electricity? Okay, one. How many respect it? Uh-huh. We don't understand it, but we respect it. I'm not going to go over there and touch those things, and no, I'm not going to do that. That is not my cup of tea. I respect it. I don't understand it. I've seen what it does. And so feelings, although we don't understand them, we see what they do, and we see what they're capable of doing, and we see what direction it can go. And so we've got to respect the feelings of our spouse, even though we don't understand them. I don't always understand my wife. I say, amen, honey, I love you. No, you don't. She don't say that anymore. But I don't understand how you're feeling. I honestly don't. I wish I did. No, I really don't wish I did, because I don't want that, you know. But it's one of those things where you don't understand it. But I still have to value it. If I'm going to honor and respect my spouse, husband, that's a lifelong lesson, because as soon as we learn one feeling, she changes to another one. And then another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And then the next day starts, and there's another one, and another one, and another one. And the first one is not like the last one. So that's one of those things. And so a major part of honor says respecting your spouse's opinions, ideas, feelings. How can we honor what we don't understand? The same way we do electricity and lightning, we know that it can be utilized for good, and we know it can be utilized for bad. And so we've got to respect it as such, and then treat it gingerly and lovingly the way God would have us to respect it, just like we respect electricity. You know, don't put your hands on it too. You know, get your rubber gloves out, amen. You can handle it all day with rubber gloves, right, brother? Certain just ones. Depends. You ground yourself, amen. Yeah. If you're not grounded, you're going to get electrocuted, Brother Josiah. He says that's been there before, amen. All right, notice the next one. Concerns. Why is it important to honor my mate's concerns? Why is it important for their concerns? Why should I do that? Why should I respect their concerns? Honor their concerns. Have their concerns in high regard.
Because it offers a different point of view.
Now, if it were left up to us guys to raise children, how would the children turn out? Like Tarzan. They'd be hanging from the tree, swinging on, with no clothes on. Me, Tarzan, you, Jane. I mean, that's how they would be raised. I mean, they'd be hanging off the chandeliers, you know, and it's not going to hurt anything. And if it does hurt something, okay, let's change that, let's fix that, let's not hang off that anymore. If the ladies raised them all by themselves, how would they be? Probably wimpy, there's a boy sissy, crying every time you turn around. My mother had a solution to that. I had three sisters. And every time something happened, I would cry. And she sent me to the boys' club, where there was nothing but boys. Back in the days, there was nothing but boys, Steve. Now it's boys and girls' club. And only because it was cheap, it wasn't like the YMCA. The sophisticated people went to the YMCA. The poor people like me went to the boys' club. And when you go to the place where all the poor people go, thugs hang out there. And so I got thrown into the boys' club with my crying, wimpy attitude. Guess what happened to me? Got picked on, got bullied, got all these things. Guess what I did when that happened? Not at first I didn't. I cried, and I went back home and told my mother. And guess what my mother did? She sent me right back down there. Until I got a hang of not crying when you get bullied, not being wimpy, Josiah sticking up for your rights, folks would take stuff from me, I was a little pudgy little kid, and I had a basketball. I remember one of the little boys came up to me and said, "Give me the ball, fat boy." You know what I did? Now he said, give me the ball, bald boy. I'll give you something, all right, amen. Well, my mother had toughened me up by sending me to the boys' club. Now, if I was raised by these three girls and my mom, I probably would have been bad news. My mom knew that and sent me down to the boys' club. So it helps to have that balance. So when it comes to the concerns, to make it complete, you've got to have the concerns of the mom valued and the concerns of the husband valued to bring that balance. You know, my wife will sometimes say, honey, don't let them do this. They'll be all right. You know? And other times I'll be like, honey, don't let them do this. They'll be all right. And there's that balance. You know, there's that balance. And so when you're looking at this package, the opinions, the ideas, the feelings, the concerns, each one brings something there. The wife may sense more of the danger side of the concerns. I'm concerned for our health. I'm concerned for our finances. I'm concerned for our diet. I'm concerned for the children's education. The husband is more on the side of I'm concerned for the financial stability of our home. I'm concerned for our future. I'm concerned for, you know, this guy being a man when he grows up, being able to establish himself and have his own home. So the concerns are going to be different. The mom said, I'm more concerned for they're sick. They're, you know, got a cold. You know, dad says, shake it off and go to school. You'll be all right. Amen. So, you know, there's a balance there. And so the concerns have to be valued and respected and honored as something that's very, very important because of the things that each brings to the marriage. Then that last one, it says, and needs. Now, needs. Why should I value my spouse's needs? Why should I put that in high regard?
So otherwise they aren't so nice to you.
For lack of a better way of putting it, that's true. If their needs, put it this way, if your needs are met, how are you? What if your boss puts you in a job and your needs aren't being met at your job? You'd be unhappy. You're at your job, you don't have a pencil, you don't have a pen, you don't have a gun, and you're supposed to fight crime. You don't even have a billy club, amen? You don't have boots or shoes, and you got to walk in thickets. You don't have this, you don't have that. If you don't have what you need on your job, you're going to be miserable. Now, what will you end up having to do, Josiah, on your job if you don't have a gun or a billy club or your boots, but you still got to go in the thickets, you still got to fight the bad guy? What are you likely going to do? Go to respectfully complain. What if the complaint is not heard, not heeded? What do you do?
I'm gonna go higher.
Go higher. See, I'm going to business. Amen. Now, what if I don't have the capability to hire? And I still got to fight crime. I still got to go into tickets. I've got no boots. I got no gun. I got no billy club.
Still
talking about military or military? Military. Because this should be provided for you. It's a need, and they should provide your need. If you don't have that, what are you going to do?
Most likely going to bring my own stuff.
Bring your own stuff, amen. I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to bring my own stuff, I'm going to improvise. If my spouse's needs aren't met, they're going to get it their own way, their own self, or they're going to improvise. They'll say, I've got to make do because they're not going to give me what I need. So I've got to make do. So a lot of people kind of hunker down and say, well, I know he's not going to give me what I need, so let's just make the best of what we got. Others say, okay, I know she's not going to give me what I need, so let's just hunker down and I'll get it from over here, or I'll do this over here. Okay? So we're going to do one of two things when our needs aren't being met. We're going to either improvise and say, okay, you know what, they're not going to meet my need, and so I'm going to do this my way. Or I'm going to improvise and say, okay, I got to get the job done. I got to get through this somehow, some way. Military puts you out there. You know you can't go AWOL because that's not a good thing, amen. I got these bad guys I got to fight. Got no gun, got no billy club, got no shoes. I got to do something. And so we begin to improvise or do it ourselves. So it says opinions, ideas, feelings, concerns, and needs. These are all things that I've got to be able to do when it comes to my spouse. Notice the next sentence. The deepest level of love is when you honor your mate so highly you put his or her feelings and needs above your own. Now notice that. Out of opinions, ideas, feelings, concerns, and needs. In that previous sentence, they highlight two. What are those two? Feelings and needs. Why would they highlight those two out of opinions, ideas, feelings, concerns, and needs? Why would they just highlight those two, feelings and needs?
Because if you're taking somebody's needs and their feelings into accountability, it kind of dribbles down to all the rest.
Exactly. It encompasses the others. The feelings and needs encompasses the concerns and the opinions. They all, the ideas, they're encompassed there because I don't want to hurt their feelings. I want to make sure that I am providing for their needs. And I've got to put that above my own. Now it says, this is obeying what command found in Romans 12:10. And that's where our memory verse comes in, which says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So that means putting them before me. Honor is value. Preferring means to show deference or to show that I'm putting you first. Notice what it says in that next paragraph. Nothing will enhance your life and add to your happiness like obeying of this command in your marriage relationship. Husbands are commanded to honor their wives in 1 Peter 3:7. So let's look at that one. 1 Peter 3:7. Well, again, honoring my mate is what I'm looking at. This is one of the second most important tools in the marriage behind commitment. I'm committed to them, and I'm going to honor them. Who's got 1 Peter 3:7? Can read that for me? Preferably a man. One of our men. 1 Peter 3:7. Go ahead, brother.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life.
Okay, Peter here is writing, and he says your prayers could be hindered if you don't do this. If you don't get this down, your prayers could be hindered. He says, dwell with them, or you know, live with them, abide with them, according to knowledge. What is knowledge? That is the information that God has given me about them. I've got to know them. Knowledge is the same biblical word that we get from science. And so I've got to experiment with them. I've got to learn them. I've got to know them. I've got to. Now, how am I going to know them? Husbands, how are we going to know our wives? Begins with a T or a C. Huh? Time is one. What's another? It begins with a T or a C. Huh?
Really talking.
Talking to them. Or C word, communicating with them. Most men by nature are not communicators. We're not. You know, we can sit in our cave and grunt all day and it doesn't bother us at all. Some men are not that way. Some men are communicators. They are talkers. Not all men are. Some are. So if we're going to know our wives, we've got to talk to them, as Mrs. Dawson says, spend time with them and communicate with them. And what do we normally don't have, men?
Time.
We got the honey-do list, we got the hobby-do list, we got the kitty-do list, we got the job-do list, we got our own do list, we got everybody's list, you know, and then the wife says, what about my list? You say, well, that's the honey-do list, isn't it? No, that's another list, amen. This is the my time list. And we think, well, I hadn't even figured that one in the equation here. And there's 24 hours in a day, and I've got, I can give you 5 minutes. And that's normally how it goes, amen, until there's something tragic comes up and they're breaking down. I don't know. Okay, what happened? The roof caved in and, you know, the house is sinking, you know. Wow, when did that happen? Well, 2 years ago, I tried to tell you about it, but you didn't have time. So knowing them, it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. We've got to spend time knowing our wives. Then it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Is she weaker than us in the regards of spirituality? No. Why would it say the weaker vessel? How is she weaker? How is she weaker? Give me a hint, it's not mentally. It's not
strength.
Emotionally.
Physical strength.
Physical strength. Who did God put in the garden and tell him to work it?
Adam.
He didn't put Eve in the garden and tell her to work it. He told Adam to work it. He told him to till it. So what does a man have naturally? More stamina and endurance when it comes to physical labor. He can normally stay up later. He can normally work longer. He can normally handle more stress, yada, 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 because God made him that way. She cannot oftentimes. That's why she will break down certain times with her feelings and with her emotional state and with her makeup and her personality, because she's bearing so many different burdens in her emotional makeup. Men, we've got one burden, supply for our family. Bring home the bacon. And when we bring home the bacon, we're good to go. But now she's got all these other responsibilities. So when you look at it, she's not weaker in terms of spirituality or emotional, but in physical strength, she is the weaker vessel. He says, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. You got the same salvation as well. She doesn't come behind in salvation. And he says, then make sure if you don't dwell with her according to knowledge, you don't learn her and know her, your prayers will be hindered. Why would my prayers be hindered because I don't know my wife? Why would my prayers be hindered if I don't know my wife? Why would that hinder my prayers?
Because they're not following God's word, his commandment.
Not following his commandment, that's true. What else? Why would my prayers be hindered if I don't know my wife?
Because you don't know what to pray for.
Don't know what to pray for? Okay, what else?
You don't know the needs of the world.
Don't know the needs of? That's true. What else? Prayers being hindered. Why are the prayers being hindered? Because I don't know my wife.
How can you pray for something you don't know?
How can I pray for something I don't know? That's true. What are we supposed to be?
One.
One flesh. The two are what? One. So I don't know half of the equation, and that's her. If I don't know half the equation, there's going to be a split in my prayers. They're going to be hindered because she may be praying that direction. I may be praying this direction. And so we've got to be one in our prayer life, and I've got to know her heart so that I can pray. If I don't know her heart, I can't pray for her. True? I mean, how are you going to pray for your children? Of course, you know certain basic needs that Hakoda needs. But as Hakoda gets older, he's going to have needs that if he doesn't communicate those needs, you won't know he has those needs. So again, it's the knowledge of knowing the spouse in order to meet the needs and then in order that my prayers can be answered. Now, go over to the next one. It says, and wives are commanded to honor their husbands in Ephesians 5:33. Ephesians 5:33. And preferably a lady to read that one, Ephesians 5:33. Who is there, ladies? 5:33, Ephesians. Go ahead, Lily.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she returns for her husband.
Okay, so the wife's supposed to have a reverence for her husband as well. It says, how can a wife have a reverence for her husband? How can she reverence him, respect him, honor him? How can she have that? Anybody? They said, we don't know, we don't do it. No. I'm sure you do. How can the wife do that?
Yes, Kate? Every man is different in some ways, but the main way you can honor your husband is to find out what he needs from you and to fulfill that. Whether he needs you to respect his opinion or his feelings more, different men put more importance on one or the other. Mm-hmm. And if you can fulfill that, that's a way you can learn it. So fulfilling them into whatever way they deem necessary.
Amen. Do all men have an ego?
Yes.
Yes, and so that's one way. How does a male ego normally shatter? Criticism. What else?
By not being respected.
Not being respected. Disrespect. Demeaning. You're not a man. You know, why don't you have a job like Bob over here? You know, you're not like my father. You know, those comparisons. Carmen, you want to say something?
I was going to say, encourage him, let him know when he does something, you know, good, you know, because it's so easy to focus on those things that we don't like.
Amen.
And you need to really focus on those things that they y'all do well and compliment you often.
Amen. Amen. If the wife is going to reverence the husband, she needs to know how to reverence him. Now, the word reverence means basically to, you know, value him, you know, submit to him, have him in a position of respect. Now, we should be doing that. The Bible says submitting yourselves one to another in an earlier passage there in Ephesians 5, what's that? 5:21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So if the wife is going to reverence the husband, she needs to make sure that she understands of what it is that is going to be pleasing in his sight. Notice what it says down that last sentence after 5:33. Every time you praise your spouse, you're giving him or her the honor God commands. Now, question number one, it says, what have you done in the last week to demonstrate honor for your spouse? Now, that will be some homework that you can put down. What have I done? You reflect back over the week. What have I done to show that I honor or reverence my husband or my wife? Now, I put down, I encourage my wife to get some rest. I did Faith's hair. That could be a blessing or it could be a burden. It depends how you look at it. She had the rugs outside and she didn't put them back in. I took them and I shook them out. I washed the clothes for her. I attempted to fold them and put them away. I was unsuccessful at that part. Amen. I made the lunches for the children. I listened to her when she wanted to talk. I helped the kids with homework. I allowed her to sleep in. And those are some things that I put down. I said, okay, what did I do this week to basically demonstrate to my wife that I want to honor her and put her needs before my needs? Now, everything that I just listed cost me what?
Time.
And we all know we don't have time. So that means you got to take time or make time or readjust time or do something with time in order to give the other one time, if it's time that's the issue. Okay, I knew my wife was very fatigued this week, and so I encouraged her, get some rest. You know, she was out with Faith yesterday. I encouraged her, come home, get some rest. You know, wife, she's out with Faith. Amen. I know how challenging that can be. Amen. Anytime children are involved, they want to go here, they want to go here, they want to run over here. We'll look toys, and it's like, no, we didn't come for toys. You know, we didn't come for candy. We came for mommy. Okay, well, what can I have then? Nothing. No.
Yesterday was for her, though.
Yesterday was for her? Okay. And so, list some things there. Now, notice this next paragraph. Very, very important. You may say, Tommy, I don't see anything in my spouse to honor. Now, I hope that is not the case with us. The fact is, you see in your mate what you're looking for. How many can say amen to that? If you're looking for problems and faults, what are you going to find?
Problems
and faults. Do we all have problems and faults? Yes. Some have more than the next person. But if I look for problems, I'm going to find problems. I could look throughout this auditorium, and I can find problem after problem after problem. I come in here normally on Mondays and throughout the week, and I'll see this is not done, this is not done, this is not done, this is not done. And I find myself just doing everything, amen? But also, I can look for great things that have been done. I say, oh man, look at this. This was done. This was done. This was done. It all depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a problem, you're going to find it, amen? So he says, the fact is, you see in your mate what you're looking for. If you look for things to criticize, you'll find them. If you look for things to praise, you'll find them. Notice this. It's like when you go to a garage parking lot after buying a new car. All of a sudden, you see all the cars just like yours. I mean, you can identify with that. You bought a car. You didn't really see a whole lot like yours. Then when you got yours, you saw a whole bunch like yours, and you know, you start spotting them. You've never seen so many of them before because you weren't looking for them. How many are like this? You get a brand new car, and you don't have a ding on it, but then you get one ding. And what are you looking for from that point on?
More dings.
I mean, you've got a car that you have for 10 years, you can care less how many dings are on that thing. I mean, you stop counting. But now you get a new car, you see one ding, you're like, oh, is there another? So if you're looking for faults, you're gonna find faults. I don't even look for dings in my car no more. I mean, you get to the parking lot, you park close to somebody, boom. Well, amen, praise God, there you go. They're gonna do it, but it doesn't matter because I got too many dings in it anyway. But if I don't have any dings, I'm going to park and walk 2 miles to get to the store. Because I don't want anybody to ding it up. But once I get that first ding, it's like, well, here we go. Then you try to stay away from it. So you keep the clean side away from people, and the ding side you put close to people. Why? Because now I see a ding, and I'm looking for dings. If you're looking to criticize, you're going to find it. But now, praising is a different sort of story. You got to really look for praises. You know, dings just kind of step out. Notice what he says down there. Suppose I try to sell you a baseball and ask you what you would give for it. You offer $5, then I show you an autograph of the baseball player Mark McGwire. I let you know it's a baseball which broke the home run record. And now what would the baseball be worth? Of course, it's going to be worth more. Notice this next sentence, and please, please underline it. Your spouse is autographed by God. That is the one way that you can value your spouse. They have God's autograph on them. There is not another one like your spouse. Not another one. There's not another Josiah. There's not another Kayla. Not another Lilia. There's not another Carmen. There's not another Takesha, Annette, David, Stephanie, Steve, Crystal. There's not another one like you cut. So much so that your DNA is special. Your thumb is different from every other person. You've been autographed by God. That's how special your mate is. You say, wow, I didn't realize that about my mate. We normally don't. We take it for granted. Amen. So your spouse is autographed by God. He or she has the personality, temperament, strength, and weaknesses God created. By the way, you married your spouse for some of those reasons. Maybe because of their personality. Maybe because of their temperament. Maybe because of their strengths. Maybe because of their weaknesses. You married them for some of those things. Say, now why would I marry somebody with a weakness? Why would you marry somebody with a weakness?
Because we all have weaknesses and we see ourselves in them.
We all have weaknesses, we see ourselves in them. Or it could be, I have the strength to help your weakness. We're compatible in a lot of areas. And yeah, you have a weakness, I see that. But I'm going to marry you anyway because I've got a strength in that area. We can balance each other out.
Yes, sometimes their greatest strength can be their greatest weakness. You know, if you marry a strong person, you admire them for being strong, a strong person, a strong, confident person. The flip side comes with that strong confidence comes bossiness or some other, you know, but it's just, it goes along with the personality. So their greatest strength becomes the weakness that you hate after you get married. And you don't recognize it for a weakness before you get married. And then you do, and
amen. I'll use myself as an illustration. You know, my wife married me, and she knew before we got married I was very neat, very organized, very structured. But that could be my greatest weakness. Because if she says, let's go to Dairy Queen, I'll say it's not on the schedule. Can we go? No, we didn't plan that. How about, this got to be scheduled, it's got to be organized. Now, you give me 2 weeks advance notice and we can do that. You don't give me, let's take the kids to the park. We're planning for next week. And so my schedule personality then as a strength can be a weakness. Now praise God, God has given me a wife that has the organization but the freedom of spirit as well. And so she can break her schedule a lot quicker than I can. It won't bother her a bit. I break my schedule, it's like an act of Congress. We've got to have signatures on this thing. You know, it's like, no, you have messed my schedule up totally. Now I've got to revise the whole plan to get another schedule. For her, she's like, let's break the schedule today, let's do this, we'll get back to schedule tomorrow. I'm like, it's not that easy. Breaking a schedule, do you know how many ramifications that causes down the road here? This is going to happen to this, and I won't be able to do this, and this, and this, and this, and it's like a massive meltdown. For her, it's like, yeah, let's break the schedule, let's just do this. And so my greatest strength can be my greatest weakness, and so can all of ours, okay? So notice what it says here, because we're going to get to the homework here. Your spouse is autographed by God. He or she has the personality, temperament, strengths, and weaknesses God created. To dishonor or degrade your spouse is to dishonor and degrade God. Think about that next time you criticize your wife or your husband on their feelings, their concerns, their opinions, or their needs. To honor your spouse is to honor God who created him or her. And now here's getting into our homework here. You find what you're looking for in both honor and criticism. It's easy to get into a fault-finding mode, but it is hard to get out of it. Thank you, brother. One way to quit finding fault with your mate is every time you think of something for which you should praise him or her, write it on a sheet of paper, and that's our homework. You're going to get that honor list like you got next to you there. And then tell your spouse what is on your honor list. And then telling your spouse what is on your honor list will really help take your marriage to the maximum. Notice this, begin your honor list of all your mate's positive characteristics right now. Notice it doesn't say on her bad parts or his negative parts. The longer this list becomes, the more you will move toward a maximum marriage. Now, I started my list off already. Things which I would honor and praise my spouse. I put down she's sensitive, she's sacrificing, she's hardworking, she's caring, she's understanding, she's compassionate, she's giving, she's neat, I capitalize that. She's clean, she's tidy, she's considerate. And those are things that I put down. Now you make your list. Now notice on this list that is here, she provides or he provides, kind, takes out the trash, prays, giving, loving, calm, praises me, gentle, dressed nice. So those are things that you can put down. The main goal with this list is put down things that are positive that you can praise your spouse for or thank your spouse for, okay? And then when you want to honor your spouse, go to your list and say, thank you for this, or I admire this, or you're good at this. And use this list as a way to basically encourage your spouse. We're going to talk more about that next week. Because notice that opening sentence at the bottom of page 13. It says, honor recharges your mate's emotional battery. How many emotional batteries get drained throughout the course of a week or a day? Amen. All of our emotional batteries get drained. You know, the job drains it. Kids drain it. I mean, the demands drain it. The boss, you know, the cat, the dog, you name it. It's something's draining. I got my honey-do list. I look at stuff that needs to be done. and we get drained. So in order to overcome that, we've got to honor our mate by praising and letting them know that they do many, many things well, and that's the reason why we married them. Amen. So your memory verse for next week is going to be James 1:19. James 1:19. So that's going to be our memory verse. But your homework now is start making your honor list up. What I would do is keep a 5x7 card or a sheet of paper handy, whether you keep it in your Bible or wherever in your purse or wallet. When you think of something, jot it down. Jot it down. And you're on purpose looking for things that you can praise your spouse for, on purpose. And then on purpose telling your spouse what is on your honor list and helping to recharge their emotional battery. All right, any questions on that homework? So I'm going to write it down, and then I'm going to encourage my spouse with it. All right, questions, comments on that? Now, if I do this, what will this eliminate? Criticism. Why? Because I'm specifically looking for positive things. And so this will cut down on my criticism, whether it's in word or thought. It's going to cut it down. Because I'm thinking about my honor list, what they do well, what they're good at, what can I praise them about. And so I can cut down on criticism. They didn't do this, they didn't do this, they didn't, because I'm not thinking about that. Okay? So let's start on that for this week, amen, and then next week we'll ask you how that went, and hopefully it went well, and we'll begin maximizing our marriage. Again, number one tool is commitment. Number two is honor. Amen. All right, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Now, Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see that honor is so very, very key behind commitment. Lord, we've got to make our spouses feel important. We've got to value their opinion, their ideas, their feelings, and their concerns, Lord, and make sure that their needs are met. And help us not to look for critical things, but to honor them, Lord, as the Word of God says, in honor preferring one another. Help us as husbands to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Let's know them by talking to them, spending some time with them. Lord, we know that we're all so busy, and that's a difficult thing to do, but help us to do it nonetheless. And help the wife to reverence her husband, knowing how he will be pleased and satisfied as well. Lord, help us at the end of the day to maximize our marriage by praising each other for the things that we do. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and bless in the morning session. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you've got your work cut out for you. Now homework time starts. And you are dismissed. Dakota, thank you for opening up our class in the word of amen. Appreciate that. Oh, don't forget, if you guys have an activity that you want us to embark upon as a class, please get that to my wife or Miss Annette or myself, and we'll try to investigate doing that.
Are you serious?
David, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, sir.
How long are you in for?
Just till Tuesday.
Tuesday, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Take anything you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out again for another couple of weeks. So.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah. Yeah.